Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Bud Pod 69.
At last, we're here. 69 and feeling fine. A little bit for you, a little bit for me. 69,
the rudest number. how you doing, Phil?
I'm good. I'm glad we have got to episode 69 and we can finally stop the podcast.
Yeah. We can finally change the logo to one of our heads facing the other way around. and retroactively replace every episode with the birdie song.
So our logo will become like a playing card. A royal, you know, with like the royal heads that on the either way you turn it around,
you've got
pointing upwards.
Yes, like a jack.
That's right.
Yes.
Although following on from last week's discussion about cowgirl riding rabbits, now I'm just thinking about two monkeys 69ing.
Yes. Well. Oh God. Yeah. Did you see that picture? By the way, someone tweeted us of a monkeys banging like missionary style.
Yeah, I saw that, and I think that's why the monkey 69ing is in my head now. Because some absolute bastard has tweeted us with a picture of two monkeys doing it missionary, and I feel sick.
It really is like, but it's not just missionary, is it? One of the lady monkeys is like across the lap of the other monkey who's standing. Like it's a powerful
dance. And
they're
dance. Like, they're maintaining eye contact and they're, ugh, it's horrible.
They are maintaining eye contact. And I isn't that a thing with monkeys? Like eye contact is like a threat? Do you think it's more fraught for them?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't have expected that from monkeys, and I think that maybe it's a sign that they. Do you think they learned it from watching us? Do you think it's a Planet of the Apes thing?
Well, I've always said this. Young monkeys are just watching too much porn right now. Internet porn is really. Really damaged the monkey sexual psyche.
You know, they don't know what normal monkey sex is like anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. Because they go on the internet and they see all these monkeys doing it missionary. And they think that's normal. But of course it isn't. That's not what real monkey relationships are like.
No,
it's a shame. It's a shame to see that, you know, to see the effects in the real world like that.
Young monkeys will see pictures like that and they'll think that that's a normal way for monkeys to bang, and it's not. It's something that monkeys had to invent when they became jaded with just, you know, traditional monkey values like fucking a close relative after you've both found some fruit you didn't know was there.
Yes. Yeah, good traditional monkey family values.
That's right, monkey family but values.
Monkeys have always been presented with unrealistic expectations of monkeys. It's only a couple of decades ago when, you know, young monkeys would walk around covering their eyes, ears, and mouth because, you know, they'd seen that in all these pictures of monkeys, and they were walking off cliffs. They were getting eaten by predators they didn't hear coming.
They were mumbling.
And it's like we have to give young monkeys healthy examples in the public eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Healthy role models, good role models.
And you know what? No more King Kong.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
Oh my God. We are still undoing the damage that King Kong did on monkey identity.
You'll talk to young monkeys and they'll say, I feel like I should be climbing a skyscraper with a whole lady in my fist.
A whole lady
in just my giant fist. And you have to sit them down and say, look, it's about achievable goals. Steal a camera from a tourist. Eat a peanut, you know.
Become Uncle Fatty. Look at Uncle Fatty.
Yeah. He literally made a name for himself. And then he made diabetes, and then he disappeared.
Have you seen any other animals having sex? I've been hearing foxes having sex because I've been living in South London for a bit.
Yeah,
and it's true. You don't really get them in North London, or at least not near as close a centre as I live.
Mm.
But in South London, there were monkeys. Imagine there were monkeys outside. There were foxes outside. Just going.
Are you sure it wasn't modems having sex?
They're too old to have sex now, modems, surely.
Oh, I think, you know, once a year on the anniversary, a modem will remember the good old days.
Maybe.
So wait, I've heard foxes screaming, but I've never.
Yeah, screaming. But isn't it all? But don't they scream when they're having sex?
What reason does
a fox have to scream otherwise?
I don't know.
Why am I in a city?
It's because look.
What is this?
Yeah. They're screaming because they've got inner city blues. And it makes them want to holler, you know? They just go, the commute is too long. There's no sense of community.
Why don't we talk to each other anymore? Yeah,
exactly.
I don't even know my neighbor's name.
Every fox is having a kind of a meltdown that, in my head, that's the kind of meltdown people have in an American 80s film about a guy in an office. You know, like the main character goes on a big spiritual rant, like newsroom. Oh, yeah.
Jerry Maguire. Foxes are Jerry Maguire, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they always have like big ties and they're always going, God damn it, what's happened to this country? They're always.
The rant, that's. Is that from Newsroom?
Wasn't it Newsroom? The guy with the. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Isn't Newsroom the series?
Maybe it is the series.
What's the film called? It's amazing, that film. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Network.
Network. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. It's amazing, though. It's a really good movie. It's quite Shakespearean in its script. It's so beautifully written.
Yeah, there's not often that you can watch something from any era apart from Shakespeare's and think that.
Yeah.
If it's from Shakespeare's era, I'd say there's a 1 in 3 chance that you'll find it's almost certainly Shakespearean.
You can, although like some of his plays are like pretty garbage, so even some of Shakespeare is not really Shakespearean.
Yeah, and it's always, I remember when I first found out that even if you go see a Shakespeare play by like the RSC or something, a lot of them are still edited down.
Right.
Like if you find like an original version of a lot of Shakespeare plays, there's like a whole character that were like a really long irrelevant scene where they just chat or say hey diddle diddle or whatever the fuck, and they ever like it's like even Shakespeare scholars are like, yeah, we could cut that. That was the interval like, where they would go and throw nuts at a bear or whatever. We can cut that.
Right. It's like in Lord of the Rings. What's that fucking guy who was cut out? Bumbalillo. What's his name? The sort of
Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil. Fucking hell. I read that about when I was I read a bit of that book and I got to Tom Bombadil and I went, fuck this. What the fuck is this? Who's Tom? Who's that? Is it their uncle? Who is he?
Well, when he comes out, oh, hello. He's like a sort of Merry Christmas rainbow man.
Yeah, he's like the ghost of Christmas present or something. It's like, ugh.
He's what is he supposed to be? Some kind of like elemental force or something?
Yeah, that's right. He's
something like made flesh or like, he's like Gandalf. He's one of the same like gods or something. Yeah, he's quite silly. I love The Hobbit, and I tried to read Lord of the Rings too young, and it's the Council of Elrond scene, which in the movies is fairly long, but not too long, where they go, one does not simply ride into Mordor or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the book, it's like the minutes of an actual council meeting, from what I can remember.
I think that's as far as I got as well.
I just thought, what are you all talking about?
Yeah.
Because, I used to be, like, a voracious consumer of fantasy literature. Like, you name it, I was up for it. And then I got very, very tired of it because I'd have to, like, assemble this whole world before I could start the reading.
Mm.
And so Lord of the Rings is the hardest one for that, because during that meeting they're like, but what of the Grunkles of Mazaroth? Do they ride to the peak of... And you sort of want to say, look, I don't have anything invested in Mazaroth.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll be honest, it's the first time hearing of it.
And it's always... The Mazaroth storyline always ultimately comes to the most meaningless detail in the current story. And so he'll go on this 10-page, epic history on Mazaroth, and then the elf will go at the end, and that is why this particular chair is blue. And you go, what? It's all for that?
Yeah. And the thing is that I have a lot of patience for that when it's real history. So, for example, if instead of like the fucking Council of Elrond, if it was like, no, this is like a dramatized version of the negotiations to, say, end the Vietnam War, and it has all like Nixon scheming and things like that, then it's like, oh my God, the stakes are so high. Whereas if I had to, like, if I'd never heard of America or Vietnam or Nixon or Earth or, the amount of input it requires to really get into it.
Yeah, and that's why I find it hard getting on board with sci-fi and fantasy, because they'll go, Bazalathor destroyed the people of Blernd. and you go, okay, what was the culture of Blernd like? Were they all misogynists? Like, should I be upset that they're gone, or should I be happy? Like, was it a culture worth preserving?
Or are they just flies?
Yeah, are they just horrible little flies? Like
those weird, okay. I think we've discussed this before, but in the superhero movies where like a portal opens and loads of like robot wasps fly out, and you think, well, what? Who's organized this?
What is a normal day there? What is a day when they aren't invading the world like? Are they just going around shopping? What are these bees doing?
Who flew to the bee planet and went, right, we're going to invade another planet. You've not heard of it. Don't worry. There'll be a portal. Anyway, get ready, though, and really, like, rush through.
And really want to, for some reason. It's like in Avengers, when the first Avengers movie, where the portal opens and all the bug aliens come down. They're like, ah! And you think, well, what were they doing? What were they like before this movie started? Were they just like going to the cinema in Bugland, going, "Ah, this is a good film." Ah!
Or do they have like a rich culture of tapestries and things? Like, he's like,
yeah, and movements of music and like genres of music that have changed over the centuries and nursery rhymes. And
yes, exactly. Yeah, and you sort of go, oh well. But if you see their operas, then you'll understand the soul of the screaming bug man.
Of course, what most of us see of the screaming bug man are the screams and the destruction. But there's a lot of culture behind the screaming bug man.
It's like how people, especially from my context with the degree I did, it's how people talk about Vikings now. Where all the Viking historical stuff you'll see is, but they weren't all just about raiding. They had they were traders and builders, and they were finely woven garments. And like it's true. You do have to like try and teach people that first of all that Viking isn't an ethnicity. It's a word that means like pirate. It's Norse. And secondly, that they were also just another place with people gradually trying to figure out how to farm better.
Yeah.
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 All right. Should we start off? So we get going with some of these emails?
Correspondence special.
Ring letters. Emails. Emails. Phone calls. Your sister. Keep it. Correspondence.
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 Yes.
Thank you for bearing with us. Today is the day, I reckon, that we finally get to the bottom of the mailbag.
Let's do it. Let's do our best. Joe gets in touch.
Joe, don't be slow. Tell us quick
about
your prick, dick.
It says, hey, P-Buds. Working from home today, I used the magnifying glass on my Swiss Army knife for the first time.
See? Lockdown hasn't been all bad.
Wow. I've had the knife for 15 years.
Oh, he's one of those. There's a real particular kind of guy who always has a Swiss Army knife on him.
Yes, it's there's three types of person. The guy who always has a Swiss Army knife on them, the guy who's got one at home somewhere, and the one who's never owned one.
Switzerland has such a confusing cultural output. Chocolates, clocks, banking, and a knife that can do anything.
And melted cheese pots.
Of course. And a little tool that has all the little bits that do all the little things. You got a fondue screw on it. You've got a banking blade. You've got a chocolate fork.
And you have, of course, a clock knife. For carving clocks. Maybe the knife has to be so multifaceted because all the rest of their cultural output is so varied and strange.
Yeah, that's right.
So he says, it felt pretty cool to me, and then I realized that being excited about utilizing your Swiss Army knife attachments is textbook uncool.
Yes. So just uncool? Not even coolest uncool?
I think he's... The title of his email is coolest uncool thing, so I think he is okay. It's a candidate.
I think it's uncoolest cool thing, because it's cool to have a cool, neat gadget on you, but it's uncool if it's too practical.
Spoken like that's a true uncool. Batman fan.
Thank you!
Yes, I agree, Joe. Now you just need to find a horse with a little stone in its hoof.
What is a Swiss Army knife if not a utility belt for dads? Right?
It's true. Bat Dad.
Bat Dad.
Yeah, or Dad Bat, if you're from Wuhan. Ooh.
Come on.
I know. You see there's a new virus from pigs.
Yes, a new potential pandemic pig virus.
Lockdown 2.
Maybe we make them fight like Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, Godzilla and Mothra.
Yeah, COVID versus pig flu. That'd be fun.
Yes, bats v pigs.
But unfortunately, the battlefield is our bodies.
Yeah, that's true. Liam gets in touch again.
Did Joe not say what he used the magnifying glass for?
He didn't.
Ah!
But he said it was while
guess.
He said it was while working from home. So what could that be? Like, trying to examine.
I mean, that is
an ancient document. Do you think he works from home
inspecting a jewel?
It's real. My God, it's real. Dear Bad Pod. Do you think he was working from home as the main character in a Dan Brown novel? Looking for a little clue in a piece of art. So Liam is back in touch.
Liam, did you see him?
Nice. The title of his email is The John Wayne.
Okay.
Interesting. He says, hello, butt plops.
Hello.
And fair enough. I hope you're both well. Thank you for the continued service to the God of Two Cheeks.
This is very good, yeah.
May he or she always part above us.
Very funny.
Very funny. Liam here, teller of Dr. DuckTales.
Ah, Dr. Duck. I remember Dr. Duck.
And the Corridor of Musty Farts.
A regular raconteur.
Yes.
Our Homer, Liam.
Yes, a plopacy.
This is Bud Pod's oral tradition.
Yes, as we all remember, the man who made the duck walk happen with his bollies hanging and the corridor that led to the only toilet in a shared workspace, so people were naturally releasing little farts as they went to go do a poo in their one toilet.
Historians actually believe that Liam wasn't one person, but a few different people.
In fact, some scholars even speculate that Liam may have been a title for a sort of poet. Yes. Update on the duck waddle.
Okay.
I think we maybe clarified it the other day, but it is a standard... it's a standard thing to test out something to do with your like interstitial muscles.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. It's a good way to poo. It's a good pooing position, after all, as we discussed last week.
Yeah, it does have some sort of health indicative thing. They made my dad do it when he was conscripted into the Air Force. It was part of an Air Force medical. So there's a rich history to Liam's experience. But the pictures of ducks on the wall made it. Anyway.
Can you do the Chinese squat, Pierre?
What's that?
It's when you squat on both legs, keeping both feet flat on the ground without falling over.
Oh, yeah, so I
can
sit like that.
Not on your toes. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I can sit like that. I call that the... Good. That's like how when you... In Africa sometimes, or like in footage of Africa, I should say, where you see people like waiting for the bus. Sitting on your haunches, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. But yeah, oh, but,
I could do that, yeah. But yeah. I'm like the only white person I know who can do that.
Interesting. I think you have to have some experience in a country without enough chairs. That's the origin of these... of that position, right? Because like in China, it's like, oh god, there are a lot of people. There aren't enough chairs.
We can't ever have enough chairs. Look at these guys.
I'll just have to sit on my own legs.
Do you think that's what that border dispute between China and India was? musical chairs gone wrong.
It was a game of musical chairs that got way out of hand.
Yeah.
Do you know, they had to fight unarmed because it's a tradition that they aren't armed on that border.
They agreed it a few decades ago to try and make it less likely to escalate, but that didn't work.
Well, it did. Imagine how much worse it would have been if they had guns.
I guess so, but I'd rather be shot at than hit with a club of spikes, I think.
Yeah, and kicked off a cliff. Like
Jesus Christ.
Like fucking anyway, so 300.
Yeah. So Liam, right, this is his tale.
It
was just another day, he says. I had awoken and arisen from my bed with not many incidents of note. I brushed my teeth with a couple of... Oh, right. He's saying, I brushed my teeth with a couple of unintrusive guffs. But I don't mean... Ugh. I don't think he means he cleans his teeth with farts.
Yeah, because that's quite an impressive bit of gymnastics.
Like
what
air
does
blasting.
He mean, guffs? Oh, okay.
I brushed my teeth with a couple of unintrusive guffs as the last of the night's air took leave of my body. So he's farting while he's brushing his teeth.
Oh, I see. Okay, the farts are happening alongside the brushing of the teeth, but they aren't brushing the teeth themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Although that is how it reads. And Liam, do let us know if you can fart so powerfully that the fart curls around and cleans your teeth for you.
Yeah.
Like a benign spirit. He says, my gut felt good. There was no sign of impending rump jam that might delay my departure for work. Jesus. And so I set off in good spirits. In fact, much of the day passed without note. Until after lunch, when a hot hand pressed at my back hatch.
Wow.
Beautiful.
What? He shot himself.
No, well, I was pausing there to enjoy the lyricism.
A hot hand.
When a hot hand pressed at my back hatch, letting me know in no uncertain terms that my sloppy joes were eager to disembark.
Oh, I see. So from the inside. Okay.
Yeah. A hot hand pressed at my back hatch. It's a perfect description.
It is good.
But there was no rush.
Yeah.
It was the gentle nod I had received, and so I made my way to the toilets. In fact, once my cheeks were pressed on the ivory throne, I was quite frustrated with the effort required to coax the fellows out. At times, it seemed like I was heaving dry grass.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It took such time that my mind began to wander. I listened to the comings and goings of the footfall outside the toilet. Both the ladies' room and the small kitchen were outside. There was frequent loud door banging mixed with mundane conversation. In the men's bathroom...
Ah, the sound of the city.
Yes, the sound of the city. Beep, beep. In the men's bathroom, I was alone initially, but then another gentleman entered.
Mm.
He occupied the toilet beside me and my heart sank.
A challenger has arrived.
I've been waiting for you. I caught a glimpse of his shoes, paired with a recognizable cough as he unbuckled. This was my line manager.
Ah.
I knew his shoes and I knew his mannerisms. And now every bottom squirt he strained out was paired in my mind with his face. Respect for the man was being stripped away, puff by guff.
He's only human. He's only human like the rest of us, Liam.
An astonishing moment was a particularly loud strain, followed by silence, and then the sound of a cork popping.
Wow. Was he celebrating it? On his own.
Another successful shit.
Like a Formula One driver just spraying himself on the toilet.
After some time, I was relieved to hear the dragging of paper on arse. As he padded the stragglers off his backside.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Before grunting his trousers up.
This is good. I like that. Grunting his trousers up.
He battered open the cubicle before washing his hands, the bang of a door, and he was gone.
I can really hear all that. That's very good. Very good environment painting there.
There's a type of person who does just... Yeah, there's a type of person who does just explode out of a bathroom cubicle. like a dog in a race.
I sneak out like I've just stolen something from the toilet. I'm so quiet. I'm like, sorry.
Then you hold your jacket open and you say, you kids want to buy some poos? You leave the toilet like when they're sneaking around in Scooby-Doo on tippy toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he was gone. I was alone, he says. Alone and finished, I grabbed some toilet paper to begin my own crack trawling, but to my shock, after one wipe, it was clear that what I had assumed to be a dry run was in fact a rather boggy affair.
Oof.
The tissue was wet through, and as I clutched for more sheets, I made a heart-sinking discovery.
Wet through?
Yeah. I had made a rookie mistake. There was no toilet roll left. I hadn't done a pre-check, and now my arse was like a runny nose.
It's really amazing that humanity has not found a solution to this yet. We have been shitting for centuries now, and we've still not figured it out.
No, we haven't perfected our art. So
what's he done? I bet he wipes it with the roll.
He says, I didn't have much choice. I was alone in the toilet, but someone could come in at any moment. Outside my cubicle to the right were the sinks, the hand dryers, and the door.
The
left were all the other cubicles.
Yep.
I just needed to get out, hang a sharp left into the next cubicle, and complete my business.
Yep.
I stood up.
Seems doable.
Yeah. Clear mission statement. Achievable goals. I stood up. As air hit my muddy rump, I knew... I had to avoid closing my cheeks. It would result, he says, in an ink blot of terrifying proportion.
On your own cheeks?
I think he doesn't want to create a hands rubbing together scenario.
Okay.
He doesn't want to Mr. Burns his bum.
Right. I'm getting tense.
Yeah. So with my trousers at my ankles...
Yep.
I unlocked the door and swung it open.
Liam's always waddling, isn't it? Whether it's at the behest of a doctor or his own muddy tragedy. He's always waddling.
Boy, you're a born waddler. You are going to spend your whole life, Wildling. With my trousers around my ankles, he says, I unlocked the door and I swung it open. I bent down to grip my trousers, which were at my knees.
Mm-hmm.
I then very quickly, and here's the word, Phil, waddled out of the cubicle.
There you go. Our old friend, the waddle.
Imagine John Wayne crossed with the soldiers from Toy Story.
Very good.
I had a moment of utter dread when I was out of my cubicle, but not in the next one. And I was very aware that my mucky ass was gaping at the toilet's main door.
Presenting.
Yes. But I shuffled like a man under fire. And I made it into the cubicle.
Oh, good.
I slumped down, glanced at the abundance of toilet paper, and sighed a deep sigh of relief. But
and starts crying like the end of Captain...
Captain what?
Captain... the one about the Tom Hanks.
Where Captain Phillips?
Captain Phillips. And at the end, he's just... that's Liam on the second toilet.
So, yeah. He says, I slumped down, glanced at the abundance of toilet paper, and sighed a deep sigh of relief. But, Phil.
It is his butt.
But then, my eyes fucking left their sockets when the hand dryer started.
Oh. So there's a ghost.
My line manager never left.
Oh. So Liam didn't even bother to have a look to see if anyone was to his right when he came out.
He just rushed it because he thought he heard the banging. And he says, I must have heard the kitchen or ladies' room door and assumed it was the men's.
Lovely bit of setup there from Liam to tell us about those noises.
Yeah.
Early on, there's a Chekhov's gun that has come back now. And is
Chekhov's bum.
Chekhov's bum. Well done, Liam. For
that bit of info,
using Chekhov's bomb.
It's flown back and it's hit us in the face.
Very good. Good writing, that.
So he says, my line manager never left. I must have heard the kitchen or ladies' room door and assumed it was the men's. I can only assume he had been preening over his hair in the mirror. The shock rocked me back. It took me some time to really comprehend the possibility that he had been flicking his hair and then heard a door turn to see me waddle out of a cubicle, clearly display my sodden crack, and disappear into another cubicle.
My sodden crack. It's really amazing how many synonyms Liam is finding for a pooey bum.
He's nailing it. The incident never mentioned. To this day, I don't know what he saw, but I forever feel naked in his presence. With love, Liam.
That's quite sweet. I always feel naked in his presence.
Yeah, that is. Maybe that leads to... That could lead to quite a nice atmosphere in the office if you both felt it gave you greater freedom to be yourself.
That's right, you're probably closer than ever now.
Yeah.
He's not just your line manager now, he's your line friend.
He's your slime manager.
Thank you, Liam, for another waddling story.
Can't
wait to see where you've waddled next week.
Thank you, Wadliam.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Andrew gets in touch. Quick one.
Andrew, my man Andrew.
He says, hi, PNP. I started listening a couple of weeks ago, and thanks to this lockdown, I'm almost up to date. 45-ish glorious hours of poo. Wow, that's pretty good going, 45.
Wow, yeah. God, you must be going insane.
Yeah.
You must be losing your mind, Andrew.
Our voices must be the soundtrack to an absolute horror show for you. yes, and Andrew has sent us some tat he found.
Oh, great.
And it says, it's not really so much tat as like an Instagram image post. It's like a text image post.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically just a white background with black text on it.
Horrible. They're often the worst. Because you don't even have to commit to getting materials.
Yeah, it's not even on your wall.
Yeah.
It's digital tat. It's digitat.
Digitat. Digitat and digital tat.
Digitat. Digital tchotchkes.
Digital what?
A tchotchke is like a souvenir.
Tchotchke? I never heard that.
Tchotchke, I think it's Yiddish or Hebrew. I think it's Yiddish. I only learnt it from watching American television. I think it's I think it's Yiddish. Anyway, here's the tat, Phil. It's a classic. I'm done with my 90-day trial of 2020. How do I cancel my membership?
No! No!
The answer to that is to kill yourself, isn't it, really?
Oh, God. Yeah. In the
absence of a time machine, like, maybe it's a cry for help. How do I cancel my membership of time?
Gosh.
Become a quantum particle, am I right? I don't know if I'm right. I don't understand quantum. Pretty bad. Pretty bad stuff.
The action of observing tat changes the tat itself.
Yeah.
That's quantum tat.
Any poster with writing on in a room is in a superposition of tat and non-tat until you read it.
Schrodinger's tat.
Yes, exactly.
I am loath to bring up Schrodinger as it's sort of it's like a hack science reference at this point, but the pun was too good to let pass, I'm afraid.
I think in the context of a quantum superposition, it's actually one of the rare correct uses of the Schrodinger meme.
That's right.
But yes, every joke on the internet is either a misuse of the Schrodinger's cat thing, or T-Rexes have small arms. So that's pretty much it. And Florence gets in touch.
Florence, give us morons.
Yes, the email is entitled "The Scaffolding Sex Pest Theory."
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Sounds yes, because this is a theory we coined, that just being near scaffolding makes you a bit of a sex pest.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because I was sex pested by a man who said he was a builder, who licked his lips at me across the street.
Something about scaffolding.
Yeah.
Florence says, "Hello there, the two poops." Pretty good.
That's a play on the two popes.
Of course it is. Yeah, I was so happy to accept it at face value. I was just like, yeah, two poops, fine, yeah.
That's how much your mind has turned to mush at this point. Yep, yeah, two poops, okay, makes sense.
I'm more porridge than man right now.
I like the two poops, that's funny.
Hello there, the two poops. In these isolation times, we're all foaming at the mouth for entertainment, and your shining pot has always been my go-to. Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
A founding farter.
Yep.
I've begun listening back to every episode right from the start.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's done. So she's been a founding farter and been a pistorian.
Yeah. The double.
Amazing.
She says, "Do I get a laminated certificate for this? Possibly, if we can be bothered to set up some sort of object delivery service or merch website."
We'll also need your metadata to prove your claim.
Ooh, yes, we could. We could be like a Chinese app. We could just take all your metadata.
Yeah, that's right.
We could go to a big advertising company. Hey, you want to sell your products to people who laugh at poo? Well, we're the only game in town. So she says, I just listened to the story of Phil getting kissed at by a Polish man in episode 5.
Mm.
When he questions whether all construction workers are sex pests, when I remembered a short but vexing tale of my own.
Okay.
I was walking into university one day wearing a rather fetching pair of red-heeled boots.
Lovely.
Mm. Very nice. And on one street I usually walk down, there was a newly scaffolding-covered building.
Uh-oh.
Mm. As a woman of 20, I instantly became more self-conscious at the thought of the hard-hat gaze.
Well, it's not the gays you have to worry about, it's the straights.
But it's true. But what happened has me scratching my head to this day. The moment I walked past the structure, I heard a man shout. Red shoes! Pussy muncher!
Red shoes, pussy muncher.
And Florence has written this quite well. It's red shoes in capitals, hyphen, still in capitals, pussy muncher, 2 exclamation marks.
So the 2 points are definitely related. Mm. Pussy muncher is definitely related to her having red shoes.
It's quite a strange thing to loudly observe a thing and then announce the conclusion you've drawn from it. Like, yeah, hard hat, builder!
Yeah, speeding car, late for work!
So she says, on the exterior, I kept an okay thank you stance, but inside I was rattled, to say the least. Since when had red footwear been a symbol of homosexuality? But more importantly, how did he know?
Wow, there you go, that's a thing. When they know, they know.
Yeah. All the best, Koji. Wash your hands after, please, Florence.
That's tricky when they get it right. Because how does Florence react to that if she is herself a gay woman and an obnoxious man gets it correct?
Yeah.
Does she say, oi, well, yeah, but it's none of your business.
There's no need for that.
No need for that. Is it that obvious?
That would be quite a good comeback, actually, to some awful creep who shouts something like that at you. You go, uh-huh.
And what?
Yeah, and then you take out a revolver. And what? The dream. She's also got a very funny signature at the bottom of this email she sent, Phil.
Mm.
It says, but, you know, you pee some, you poo some.
And it's true. It's true, you do.
You do pee some, you poo some.
Yeah. I always sit down when I need to pee because I'm always worried I'm going to poo some.
Yeah, I think if you knew someone who said that they do a poo without a pee, would you ever trust them again?
No. No. That's psychopathic to just do a poo with no pee.
I think you'd have to try not to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you'd do some damage to yourself.
Surely.
It'd be like lighting a fire with no smoke. You're like, ugh, how's this happened?
Yeah, what a horrid... what an absolutely horrid... what a horrid concept. Zizzy gets in touch.
The Italian restaurant?
Yeah, well... at the bottom of her email, she says, it's pronounced like Lizzie, by the way. Pierre's gone down in my estimation since he brought up my nemesis, the pizza restaurant Zizi's.
Interesting. So it's pronounced Zezzy.
Oh, actually, she says, no, it wasn't me. It was you. It was Phil who brought up Zizi's. She's Zizzy.
I've done it again. I can't help myself.
You did it. Your instincts are always Zizi's based. I'm still very much secure in her estimation. Yes, excellent. So she sent an email... regarding,
but how is her name pronounced?
Yeah, Zizzy. So Zizzy has sent us an email.
Zizzy.
And I'm not going to read out the title of the email or why she sent it in, but it's a good one.
Okay.
So, she says, hello, Peep and Poop.
Lovely, classic.
I've recently come back to your podcast. We missed this the first time round. Oh, this is from quite a while ago. We missed this the first time around. Sorry about that, Zizzy. I've recently come back to your podcast. I'm a lapsed founding father and previous contributor. After having broken up with my long-term boyfriend.
I'm sorry
to hear that. Or congrats, whichever.
Mm-hmm.
And your cheery scatological tales, all topped off with a sprinkling of medieval and military history, my fave, have cheered me up as I mope around like a lost puppy.
When you say back the remit of our podcast like that, it sounds fucking stupid. It sounds fucking insane. I wouldn't listen to that podcast in a million years.
A bum full of bullets.
But she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. Anyway, so she says, I know a guy who works in a very posh, snooty, tooty boarding school.
This will be good.
And she says, I saw him back at college for a returners dinner type thing. So there's some kind of university reunion.
Mm.
And somebody asked him if, as a housemaster, he ever saw the boys trying to get up to any silliness.
Mm-hmm.
Jolly japes. We all thought it would be the classic sneaking out at night, staying up after lights out, maybe trying to sneak a girl in. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
So much better, she says. So this guy's quite young for a teacher and very young for a housemaster, so he has quite a good relationship with the boys, and they tell him a lot and they banter with him quite a bit. But for a whole week, all of the boys seemed really off. A bit shifty, Phil.
Yeah.
He starts to notice groups of boys huddled together, conspiring.
Like
who
the
suddenly
birds.
Go silent when he approaches.
Oh,
or scatter,
no.
Like a nest of rats having a torch shone upon them. Yeah, ticka ticka ticka. He's starting to feel quite unnerved. Are they conducting some kind of drug ring? Are they about to descend into all-out Lord of the Flies-style anarchy? Finally, he has night duty on the Friday evening. The boys head to bed. He calls lights out and then goes to his office. Now, usually, lights out means the beginning of a long battle to get the students to actually go to bed. But this time, they are unusually, unnervingly quiet. Until he starts to notice a kind of low rumbling sound coming from somewhere. He sticks his head out of his office and he hears it's coming from downstairs. He checks the dorms. All the boys are missing.
Wow.
Empty beds. He follows the rumbling sound down and down until he gets to the basement. He opens the door to the basement, and the sound hits him like a wall of heat when you step off a plane. A whole house's worth of boys shouting and crying out like wild animals.
Oh my gosh.
He sees that they've formed themselves into a circle, and the looks on their faces are like crazed baboons. Then he sees what's in the middle of the circle, and what they are all cheering on. In the midst of this mass of savage, feral teenagers are two first-year boys squaring up to each other.
Oh my god.
They take a step back.
Club.
Well. They take a step back, and one lands a punch clean on the other's face. It's now that the housemaster sees the pure beauty of what's going on. Instead of boxing gloves on their hands, they have whole raw chickens. Paff! Splat!
Well, I can honestly say I did not see that coming. I did not see that detail coming.
I love that. I think everyone involved in it should get a medal.
You'd think you were having a fucking dream if you walk downstairs and they're just a bunch of boys watching two boys fight and they've got chickens for hands.
in a basement and all the beds are empty, like a horror film. It's also very funny that this must be like the 12th night they've done this.
Yeah, and imagining all the whispers that he interrupted, all the, so if you got the chickens, did you get the chickens for tonight? Yeah. Were they free it's your, range? I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's your turn to buy the chickens. I spent all my tuck shop money on chickens last week. Now it's your turn.
You have to buy the chickens, or else there won't be a fight tonight. Well, we can't just not have one. We have to have one. What do you mean? What do you mean to wait for next week? We can't go. Oh, she's coming.
Hi, sir.
Make
sure you don't buy a chicken that's got any of the onions or whatever already in it, because then we can't put our hands in.
Yeah, make sure it doesn't have stuffing, because last week, remember, Tim, he put his hand in and it got covered in stuffing. That's gross. It's not fair they had to wash the stuffing off. So make sure they're unstuffed chickens. Oh, she's coming. Hello, sir.
Whole raw chickens on your fists.
I mean, I hope they wash their hands afterwards. That's the thing. If one of them breaks a skin, they're going to get infected there.
How quickly in the dim light of the hot basement do you think you'd notice that the boxing gloves have got little wings?
This is such a great story. This is one of my favorite stories, I think.
How do you even discipline anyone for that? How do you explain it to the parents without breaking into open admiration and laughter?
Yeah, and what specific rule have they broken, really?
You'd have to just say they were out of bed.
They were out of bed. All we can try them for is that they were out of bed. The rest is unprecedented.
We don't have a category for this. Frankly, what they were doing qualifies as performance art, and they're all going to get school colours.
Strangely enough, they're all getting extra credit for this, but also we have to punish them.
There's something about the ingenuity of bored teenagers that I love. I really, really love it. The idea that they all just thought, well, we'll have a fight club, but we don't need gloves. We should use raw chickens.
You know what? When people say that that single sex education can be damaging to a young person's development, it's never this that I picture.
No. No. No, I mean, oh my God. I'm bowled over by that. I'm so sorry we didn't read that out at the time, but I'm also so glad that I get to read it out now.
I mean, we know people who've gone to prestigious all-boys boarding schools, and they have a laundry list of resulting emotional and mental traumas.
Yeah.
But none of them is that they use poultry for gloves.
To beat the fuck out of each other. I'm now, this might sound unbelievable, Phil. I'm now paranoid that, like, we definitely didn't read that out before, right? Months ago.
I feel like we would have remembered this.
We'd
story.
Fucking remember that, surely.
Yeah. Definitely.
My school was mixed, but it did have like a boarding house where you could send your international children to become international.
International school, yeah.
Yeah. And there were some examples of really impressive ingenuity, setting up a remote webcam as our own personal private security camera.
Really?
To see when the teachers were coming.
Interesting. Where did you hide it?
They blue tacked it above a door jamb.
That's smart.
Yeah, and then one of the really clever Germans, who was and continues to be a science genius, I think he's on his second PhD, he's like a real genius, they would turn the internet off, and also the internet was heavily censored, as you can imagine. No one needs help wanking at that age. But we were quite near an airport, and he rigged up a kind of makeshift receiver satellite and pointed it at the airport and managed to get access to the lounge Wi-Fi.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's very impressive.
Crashed a lot of planes, unfortunately, but at least we got to have a good wank.
Yeah. He got to play League of Legends online, and it was worth all those deaths.
Man, that's amazing. That's like something from Tom Clancy.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that guy was That guy was fantastic. He's so interesting. Thank you for that, Zizzy. My lord.
I'm trying to think if there's anything equivalent from my boarding school days.
Your boarding school days coined the term "his wet."
Oh yeah. Your roommate's funny. Wet. They left in the shower. But I mean, that's hardly impressive. I'm trying to think of something like impressive or like organized, some sort of underground organized movement. I mean, sometimes people would sneak out in the middle of the night from boarding houses to kiss girls. People
would raid each other's dorm rooms and have like beat each other up with pillows and things. Like,
yeah, there's a bit of that, but it was always within the same house. You'd sneak into someone else's room.
There was a guy at my school who was like, I bet you I can, apropos of nothing, was just like, I bet you I could eat a kilogram bag of sugar.
Did he?
He tried.
That, I mean, that's reminded me of once when I was challenged by a friend in the dining hall and boarding house to suck on a tea bag for really long. And so I was like, I can suck on a tea bag for 30 seconds. And so I sucked on a dry tea bag for 30 seconds. And it felt like it was horrible. And it felt like it was going on for ages.
Yeah.
And I finally stopped. And he let me go on for like 3 minutes. So I sucked on a tea bag for like 3 minutes.
What did you win?
Nothing. Just like respect.
Pride. But
I didn't. I lost respect because I sucked on a tea bag longer than I needed to.
I've heard that about you, Phil. You know what they say about Phil? He's let's just say he sucks on his teabag for a lot longer than he needs to.
But that's boarding school for you.
Yes, it is. Rona gets in touch, and I assume it's a she. She says an unfortunate name to have at the moment.
Rona, the Rona. Yeah, that's a shame. You must be being blamed for a lot of things that aren't your fault right now, Rona.
Yeah. Hi, Phil and Pierre. I'm not sure if you're still doing Cool Uncool, but I have an uncool cool thing anyway.
Great. We're always doing it.
Knowing a lot about art house or 20th century cinema.
Right. Yes. So this is coolest uncool or uncool cool.
No, uncool cool.
Yes, that's right.
So she says, on the one hand, I can sound very smart and sophisticated because I can talk about Jean-Pierre Melville's representation of the criminal underclass and Ingmar Bergman's representation of female sexuality. On the other hand, I tend to bore people. And the fact I have enough free time to go to the cinema multiple times a week, not currently, of course, says a lot about my social life.
Going to the cinema on your own is one of the great untapped joys in life. I've only ever done it like twice, maybe. Because it's hard to bring yourself to do, but it's so nice.
It's great. She says, I also want to call out Pierre, as he is the reason my dad calls putting sauce on food wetting it.
Yeah, her dad's picked that up from you now.
Yeah, the wet food routine. I'll just wet this food. That's funny. And it has only served to deepen our divide in terms of the pro-anti-vinegar debate.
Ah, you're anti-vinegar, Pierre.
Yeah, I'm anti-excess liquid on food. Excess being the key word there.
I'm not cooking with a lot of vinegar.
No.
Like, I throw a bit of vinegar into any sauce I make, and it's great.
Yeah, a bit of tang. Bit of tang in there.
Bit of tang. A bit of Phil tang.
She says, your show at Hen and Chicken was very good, but you've irrevocably harmed my relationship with my father. Love the part, appreciate the filthy humor, which I was introduced to early thanks to my name rhyming with boner.
Great. Also, you love to read an email that signs off, you've irrevocably damaged my relationship with my father.
Yes. Yes, good to have a podcast that can do that. And she signs off with, and let me try and get this right, Prodoljajut masturbirovat.
Wow, that's pretty rude.
She says, it sounds really awkward, but my knowledge of Russian wanking slang is not very extensive.
Ah, yes, of course.
So, prodoljajut masturbirovat.
Masturbirovat, I'm guessing that's wanking?
Yes, and
it
I guess...
It still sounds like a threat.
Yeah,
prodoljajut... Even keep on jacking it, which is an invitation to do one of the loveliest things a person can do with themselves. It sounds like a threat.
Yes, 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 yes. If a Russian said that to you, you'd immediately start jacking it just to avoid any trouble.
As a defense mechanism, like an ape.
Yes. And then quite a nice email to end on. It's from Mike.
Mike, give him the mic. Sorry.
Hey, it's spelled differently. It counts.
It's true. Thank you.
Hey, Peens.
Mm-hmm.
In over a year of episodes, I don't think I've heard you guys argue once.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Have we never argued?
Not on air. So
yeah,
he
that's
says,
right. Well, what people don't know is that the second we stop recording this, I just go, you make me look like a fool back there.
That's the one thing I like about lockdown is that Phil can no longer backhand me with a velvet glove.
Yes, I've been able to challenge Pierre to far fewer duels than I used to.
Yes, and you can't have a socially distanced duel because when you walk 10 paces, you're having to start 2 meters apart. It fucks up the whole timing.
Well, you can just start 2 meters apart and walk 5 paces.
What's the point of traditions, you know?
That's right, that's right.
So he says, is there a topic you two ever get heated over? And if so, what is it? Yours, Jackingly Mike.
Yes. Cats and dogs. I've called Pierre a bigot for his opinion on cats.
Yes.
I think Pierre has a bigoted opinion about cats. He's very he's an anti-cat bigot.
I think it's cats and dogs. And well, to be fair, on the podcast we did make that bet about mouth noises.
Mouth noises, that's right. But that was like a friendly bet. That was like fucking
Phileas Fogg.
My Fair Lady. Yeah. My dear sir, I dare wager that within a week you shall be going sloppity slop with your mouth again. Well, yeah. I'd gladly take that bet, my good sir. You know, that's what we're doing. You're still pretty civil.
We were in the lounge of our club.
Yeah.
And I shan't burp for 80 days.
We sometimes argue about politics a bit, although we're essentially aligned.
Yes, it's only ever kind of semantics or like sub categories of basically the same argument agreeing.
That's right. That's right.
We have, yeah, that's kind of it really. The only other times we've disagreed is we have different tastes in what we find attractive in people.
Mm-hmm.
But not
but
that
hardly,
different.
It's hardly enough to fight over.
Yeah, I'm never speaking to you again! The way you talked about ankles, Philip, I'm never... Yeah, it's not arguing, is it? But then, I don't know, maybe if you and I were fiery Italians, we'd argue all the time, but we're both from quite reserved backgrounds.
That's true.
Maybe that's the secret.
The secret to a healthy relationship is to come from a repressed cultural background. Yes,
and to just sort of not... That would be a very funny thing to say. To someone, the secret to a good relationship, and like look left and right, like, oh, don't argue. And then look at them for a reaction. Give it a go.
The secret to a good relationship is to get on.
Just to get along.
Yeah.
You're halfway there. Oh. Well, that was a good part. We got through a lot of correspondence there for us, at least.
We got through some correspondence. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Spread the word. Keep spreading the word. If you enjoy the podcast, we love hearing about... I particularly get a huge kick when I hear about someone who... They email in or like a friend of a friend turns out to be a listener. Anything like that is great. I love that. It fills my belly with warm cockles.
That'll give you indigestion.
Yes, it will.
You should never eat warm cockles.
No. The conchals need to have been frozen at a low enough level to kill all the parasites. It's true.
Or piping hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Not tepid cockles. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys, and see you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.